there's a couple of different definitions for a eunuch, but a eunuch is a man who, in some terms, in some definitions, he was castrated to be able to serve a woman. Amen. By castrating him, what they believed is that then he would have no sexual desires, and there would be no desires there for him to do anything to the women. So therefore, he would just serve her. But also, we know that there have been some who have the blessing of the spirit of a eunuch, in the sense that they don't have any of those desires to be with other individuals. That doesn't make them also. It does not make them homosexual either. Oh, come on, somebody. I know some would try to make them say, well, if they don't have desires, then no, the Bible says that, well, if they are not married, then their desires are of the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. And I'm talking Bible this morning. So we find that this eunuch is on the outside looking in. This eunuch is on the outside looking in. And if I was going to use for a subject today, and I'm going to let Sister Spriggs help me preach this thing today, is kept outside of the church, but welcome in the kingdom. Kept outside of the church, but welcome in the kingdom. Would you turn with me real quickly to Acts? We want to go to the book of Acts today. Acts let me get my screen set up here. Let me share my screen here, amen. I want to go to Acts, the 25th chapter. Well, I'm going to skip down to Acts 8 and 27. Acts 8 and 27. If you haven't seen it already, it's on the screen. That is Acts 8 and 27 for your reading convenience. And it says this: "And he arose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Elisus, the prophet. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to thy chariot. And Philip ran there thither to him and heard him read the prophet Elisus, and said, understandest thee what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except should man should guide me? And he, in his desire, that Philip, that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: and he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of who speaketh to this, the prophet of this, of him or himself or a man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began, as the scripture said, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, here is water. What doeth thou hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. All right, so what are you saying here today, Pastor? So glad that you all are able to be here in this space with me. What I'm saying here simply today is simply this. Sometimes some of us are outside of the space. Sometimes some of us are outside of the space. Amen. And when we're outside of the space, sometimes, you know, people look at us a little different. You know, as we look here today, I wanted to be very, very, very specific about the eunuch here. The eunuch finds himself here that what he wants to worship God. You know, sometimes, you know, we've gotten so much in the church that we've got in that we set our own standards for God. Amen. We set God up and say, God, this is what we're willing to accept. God, this is what we're going to take. God, this is how we're going to do it. And you're going to accept what we want to do. Amen. But we find ourselves here with this eunuch. This eunuch was a man of great authority. Yes, he was serving Queen Candace, and we all work for somebody. Amen. Even if you're your own boss, you got distributors who give you your products. We all have somebody that we are accountable to. But what we find here is that as he was working, he was what? Reading the scriptures. Do you all not know there's people who want to be part of the kingdom, but the church has kept them out? There are people who want to be a part of the kingdom, but the church has kept them out. What do you mean? I'm not saying that any and everything goes, but sometimes it's our own fear of the unknown. Oh, come on, somebody. It's our own fear of the unknown, what we don't know, that we're stuck where we are, that we have cut people off that God has tremendous ministry through. There's others. What, this space is an expansive space. That the prayer of Jabez said, Lord, I want you to enlarge my territory. But starting to enlarge your territory starts with building your capacity. Oh, come on, somebody. Because look, if you are exposed, then you expand. If you are exposed, then you expand. This is why I believe the Bible said that what you cannot put what new wine into old wineskins. Why? Because the wineskin itself has been there in time. It has dried out. The oils that make it elasticity, that is now what is formed, and it is what it is. You heard sometimes you hear the old people say, I just am who I am. And what I find out, that means I need to keep going, because that tells me that now you are dried fruit on the vine. You might have been productive. You might have been going forth and all those things. But as they say, what have you done for me lately? Oh, come on, somebody. If I want to say for a minute, I think about it even when I teach, and you teaching in school. If I got my degree in 1975 and I never go back to get equipped, if I never go back to learn how to use a computer, if I never went back to use a calculator, all these advances and things, the information is still the information, but how the information is presented can change everything. Who would have thought 5 or 6 years ago that we'll be doing what we're doing right now? Who would have thought that I could pipe people in? We only used to see this kind of stuff on TV, but now it's accessible to everybody and all around the world. So there is no longer an excuse to keep them on the outside. And as we continue to work in this space and we go forth, I just ask God that he enlarges our territory. He changes your mind about some things. I asked you this, we've been asking all year, hey, I want you to reimagine God. Yes, you know God this way. You know God that when you were down on your knees and you was tearing for the Holy Ghost. But what about that God that keeps you after Acts 2:38? What about that God that takes you to that next level? What about that God that has you reaching people out in the marketplace? Because everybody's not going to have a pulpit ministry, and I'm okay with that. But what about those that you are just effective, that the soul-winning crown, you can still get that soul-winning crown if you're willing to reach out and come outside your space? And that's what we're doing today on Black History Month here today, that we want to acknowledge the Ethiopian eunuch, how God touched what? Philip said, nobody's talking to this guy. This guy wants to know me. This guy wants to know where I am, but he's been kept out by what? The church. He was a black man. How many black people you see worshiping in the church in the book? There were reasons behind that. He was a eunuch. He was ostracized already because here he is. He's funny. Something's not right about him. Uh-huh. And not knowing that maybe he had the gift, or was he selected? Sometimes the choice was not even theirs. Oh, come on, somebody. This man probably was castrated as a young child. And they told him what he was gonna do, that he was gonna be a servant. But even in that, God used his gifting and his talent that what? He was over all the treasures for Queen Candace. He controlled all the space for Queen Candace. And what we find ourselves on today, and I want to introduce my guest who's going to help me preach this thing today, author and special guest, Sister Shante Spriggs. Come on, talk to us, Sister Shante.
First of all, I don't even know why you're going to allow me to just come behind that. I count my privilege and an honor just to be here with you and to partner with you on this. But she said so many key things there. Know where you can start.
I am absolutely ready, and I hope my blessing is that this is going to be a blessing to somebody else. And where are you going with that? I want to introduce you to my dear friend, Sister Shante, and I've known Shante most of my life. Amen. Our brothers and sisters. My mama used to babysit. She was a little bit older than me, so she was out and about. But the brothers and sisters stayed right often at our house. Amen. And were just very fond of their family. And you know how you go over the years and you don't see people for a while, and we all move and we do our thing. And Facebook brings a lot of us back together, people that we normally don't get to see or touch. And in this, you know, I lost kind of touch with my sister. You know, I still seen, you know, her relatives or whatever, but I hadn't seen her in years. And about mid, I want to say maybe October or somewhere around this time, I saw this tremendous book come out called Undetected. And I would say that I was just blown away. God touched my heart in such a way by the words of Sister Shantae. Because see, what you don't know, and we're going to get into today a little bit, is that Sister Shantae grew up the same way I did. We were holy rollers. We didn't wear the earrings, and we didn't wear the cotton stockings for the ladies, and you wore the prayer doolies and the whole nine. Amen. You know, and as we find later on, you know, that these things don't equate to holiness. Amen. It's about what you live. You know, you can do all those things and still find yourself in trouble. Amen. And then as, you know, we was going through and I was reading and I found out this thing that hit me like a ton of bricks, that she was HIV positive. And I'm like, and you know, the first thing, you know, I'm thinking, now, ho, because you know what our society say about these kind of people, you know, especially being people of color. You know, we have a lot of stigmas out there with people of color. Some of us don't even want to get the coronavirus shot, amen. And I ain't gonna lie, your pastor was in there, but he took it this week, amen. He sure did. And that's with good reason. There have been some things done to people of color in this country. From the medical point of view, that's horrible. We have this thing called the Institutional Research Board because of the Tuskegee experiment. I will acknowledge all those things have happened, and they were horrible. So I understand why you're a little slow to do some things. So I'm not knocking you. I get it. I do. But also I know that what? When we know better, we do better. When we know better, we do better. So when I was reading her book and you know, because I'm one of those ones, like I tell you all, we are about empowerment. We support people in the space. You know, I didn't ask her to give it to me. No, I didn't. I didn't ask her to give it to me. I bought it. Ralph Amazon. And I read it and I was like, oh my God, this is woo. And God just really touched my heart. And I called her right away, got in contact. I said, girl, you gotta come on. You gotta come on. And now is the time. And I just wanted to end our Black History Month with a Black author, amen, and someone who's living in this space and someone who, you know, because of now what she's going through in her body, and I know we're gonna have all kinds of questions. And she told me that, you know what, nothing was off the table. So if you want to comment, you can make a comment. If you have a question, by all means, ask the question. If you're on Facebook, you're able to type in the Facebook to ask the question. Zoom, you're able to type in Periscope. Wherever you may be, you're able to ask the question. And I let our guests, you know, answer the question. Or if there's a question addressed to me, we'll answer that. And I know this is a little different than what we may be used to, but sometimes you got to switch it up. Amen. It's like working out. I know when I was working out and they got to a point, my body became stagnant, meaning that I wasn't losing weight. I wasn't getting stronger. And what we used to have to do is we had to do what they call shock the body. What do you mean by shock the body? Do something a little different. Amen. Wow. Meaning that what we either put on extra weight or we went a little faster or we changed from the barbell barbell to the dumbbells. There's something different. And I believe right now the system needs a shock. Amen. And that what? We are, none of us, in this space. Some of us, some things that's going on with us, and if the truth of the matter be told, you just hadn't told anybody. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you been out there in your sin, and you just hadn't got caught yet. And you keep going, you're going to get caught, for the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but yet the gift of God is eternal life. So I'm not going to go anymore, but I will be coming in and out and just tying this whole thing together of how this eunuch is on the outside and how we have people like my dear sister Shantae that because of our lack of understanding sometimes can find themselves on the outside. But I'm here to tell you today that Safe House Church is a safe place for everybody. We take them from all walks of life. You know, we're going to preach Jesus. Amen. And we're going to hold you accountable, but we take you for all walks and places of life. Amen. There you go. I think I thought I lost you. So Shantae, can you give us a little background about you and tell us a little bit about you and your story? Can't hear you. Amen. Cannot hear us, so she's going to take care of that for me real quick. Amen. But as we go forth on today, we want to go ahead. So I see we got some questions are starting to come in, and we will definitely ask those questions. Amen. All right, we definitely going to ask. I'm going to let her get back on real quick. So she had to come back in and go back out. I think that Bluetooth messed her up. Amen. But nonetheless, I'm just, as I wait for her to dial back into the system. But this is different today in the sense that I want you to see that just like this eunuch who was left on the outside, that God has a place for everybody in the kingdom. God has a place for everybody in the kingdom. Amen. And in that place, that it's important that what we as believers, that we embrace what? Everybody. I don't have a church. Amen. I don't own this ministry. That I'm just what? God's man for the space and the opportunity time now. Are you ready, Sister Spriggs? Can you talk to us?
Yeah, I first want to say, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just well. Go for it.
Okay, before we get started, because I have something I go by.
Okay.
Okay. Excellence is a minimum, but we strive for perfection. So before we proceed, can we make sure everyone can hear me? Because I got some feedback that people were hearing echo. So can we work out the technicalities first, please?
Okay.
So audience, can you let us know, is there echo with me?
I don't see anybody saying anything. I think we're good.
Everyone out there, are we good? All right, no one's really said anything.
Everybody saying clearly, right?
Okay, let's go. All right, so you want a little background.
Yeah, we give people a little bit of background on how you got to this moment where we are now. And then I have some other questions because the questions are starting to roll in.
Oh, I like that. I like questions. Well, I would have to say, a couple of years ago, I was actually on my second marriage, and you mentioned it. Wait a minute, they're still saying there's an echo. Okay, we got to fix this.
It's nothing on my end. Let's just go forward. It's just something we're going to have to deal with. It's definitely not on this end.
Okay. Is it manageable, people? Because I want to make we're crystal, information.
All my people say we're crystal. Let's go for it.
Everyone saying that we're good?
Yeah, we're good here. I mean, we've been doing this for a while, okay. So we're good.
Okay, so I will say this, that I was on my second marriage, and we grew up, as you mentioned, holiness. So right there, that's actually unheard of. You know, you don't get a divorce and then remarry, not in our background. And so I had actually got remarried, and at the time, you know, I went through some challenges in my marriage, but we were just taught to just to hold on and keep going. And the thing about it is, when it's the second marriage, there's something inside you that's like, okay, you got to make this work no matter what. You got to save face, all those things. And so I was actually at a church conference at a dear friend of mine's in Lynchburg, Virginia. And we hadn't seen each other in years. And he invited me to his conference.
Shouts out to Pastor Younger.
Yes. Bishop S.Y. Younger. That is one of my dear, 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 dear friends. And I hadn't seen him in years. And I had ran into him a couple of weeks before. And he invited me to a conference. And we thought that was a great way for us to just to reconnect. And while we was getting ready to do our normal shopping and hanging out and cutting up, they were doing a health fair and a beauty fair next door, like in the cafeteria area of his church. And so I said, well, I'll go ahead and just see what's going on in the church, you know, see what's talking to the people. Anybody knows me know that I love young people, especially young women. So there was a group of women I hadn't seen in a while, and they were doing screenings for HIV. And they were talking about, they were a little apprehensive to get tested. And so I was just having that conversation with them, just like I am with you. And it was a thing of, okay, how is it that, you know, what if you come out positive? What is this? And I said, well, hey, I said, I'm married, but I get tested every year. And the reason for it was because I'm from D.C., born and raised in D.C., and it's prevalent there. And so I just had this thing in my head where you have to get tested. I didn't know everything about HIV at the time. I'm thinking, we heard myths about it can stay in your system for 10 years and you not know. And so I just had this ritual where every year I would get tested. So I told them, hey, you got to know your status. So they asked me, they said, Ms. Shante, if we get tested, will you get tested with us? Absolutely. I'm thinking I'm doing the leadership thing, thinking I'm doing the then coach thing. I'm thinking I'm doing those things to kind of be that trailblazer. And when I went in, I started talking to the nurse, and she was telling me you don't have to wait 2 weeks, because before I had to wait 2 weeks for results, and she said it would be 15 minutes. I'm like, okay, I like this. And so I went out, and she called me back in. And when she called me back in, she said, we're going to have to test you again. And I said, what do you mean you have to test me again? And she said, because it's picking up HIV antibodies. And literally within, I would probably say, 45 seconds, and you hear this on movies or whatever, like everything flashed in front of me, my life, everything I went through. You know, I went through abuse, I went through neglect, I went through homelessness, all that flashed in front of me. And I said, you mean to tell me I went through all of that to get to this? And so that's when I found out that I had HIV, and that's when my journey began. And I'm going to pause there, because we may have some questions just on that, because I don't want to hit the people too hard. So let's, I'm going to give it to you on that.
Amen. You can go ahead. You can hit them. You can hit them.
Okay. Let's
I think
go.
Some of those questions that some of the questions that come in already was asking about that, you know, so often, especially in the Black community, we hear people doing things from a criminality point of view. You know, it was like, hey, was this a revenge from somebody? You know, was this a something though that somebody did that they know they intentionally had done to you? And of course, you know, and as you told me before that, you know, I told you I wouldn't, hold anything back. But what inspires you to share this story? I mean, I want to know, you know, because, you know, we read the Bible often and we talk about all these things in the Bible, and people's like, well, this doesn't apply to me. You know, this doesn't happen. But I remember in the Bible there was a group of lepers. So, you know, I always, you know, got to the point that people looked at HIV, AIDS, and all these other, you know, communal diseases as almost like a modern day leprosy, right? And you know, when people became a leper, what they did is they moved them to the outside of the community, and people didn't deal with them. And that's what made Jesus unique, is that when Jesus went out and he would pray for them and would heal them and come in contact with them. So with that, knowing that you would be maybe probably ostracized by those that, you know, that you thought maybe had loved you or was you were cool in this space until they found out some other things. How did you come to that point to be able to share this testimony? Because to me, it's extremely personal. And now, you know, we're telling it to the world right now. We don't know where this video will go. We don't know who's watching. We don't know who this is going to touch. But I'm here to tell you that some young woman somewhere is being touched right now, or is going to be touched by a replay because of the power that you exude in your testimony. So can you give us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I will have to say, we talked a little bit about this the other day. If I had to pick and choose my ministry at that time, it would not have looked like this at all. If someone had told me, okay, Shantae, your ministry is going to be HIV, I would have said, oh, no. You guys know I love to sing. Let me hit that alto. Let me hit that tenor. Let me direct the choir. Let me do what I do in the marketplace. But this, no. And so I actually think that it was very, I mean, that's just like God and his sovereignty. It was, he had to actually inflict me with this so I can feel it. Because other than that, if I had not been able to feel what it feels like to be a woman living with HIV, going through a second divorce and raising children, I would not be able to, I think, effectively be compassionate towards those individuals with HIV. So you posed a good question. You said, what led me to being an advocate and being outspoken about it? I remember I had sat in depression for almost a year. Only those close to me knew. My family knew I was depressed. But on the surface, I would show up at work and I would be that facilitator. Hey, welcome to class or what have you. And I'm going to show up in the boardroom. I'm going to show up at church. I'm going to know my part. But secretly, I was actually wearing a mask and I was a totally different person and literally living in depression. I would go in my room, didn't want to open up the blinds at all. And I remember one day I was praying on the floor. I was actually laying prostrate on the floor. And I was like, God, this has to make sense. Like, it just does not make sense right now. None of this makes sense. The abuse that I went through, different things I had endured and came out of, you mean to tell me this has to make sense. Help me understand. Help me make sense out of this. And all of a sudden, and it's something how as leaders, sometimes we are placed in situations to where we may not be strong enough for ourselves, but we will find the strength and tenacity for someone else. And mm-hmm. So immediately when I was on the floor, I started feeling like, wait a minute, there's another woman somewhere else that's feeling just like this. There's another wife who was just, I wasn't doing nothing but being a wife. I wasn't being promiscuous. And I know there's different ways that you can contract HIV. I was none of those things. I was just simply being a wife, and this is my story. And I started feeling other people. And I said, God, if you can help me get off this floor to be the voice for those individuals, I'll make sure that if you do whatever to my body, you heal me. If you never heal me, whatever, I'm going to go out and tell the story. And that's when I started doing it. I was not strong enough for Shantae. Shantae didn't have no strength. Shantae was depressed. Shantae was out of it in her head. But I had enough to pull myself out of it for someone else. And so I'm just going to pause there. And so that was the thing that kind of made me be that voice and that advocate for someone else. Because I knew if I showed up for someone else, then that would ultimately give me strength. And that's where I am right now. I'm here for the people.
Hopefully, you know, I think about it oftentimes. You know, we watch them, you know, those movies. I think it was one of those silly movies. It's talking about, this is the point where it says message. You know, I just wanted to jump in real quick and say message, in the sense that, you know, we often talk about this bridge of the Bible and the now and the application. And it reminds me of a story. Write this down. St. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. And it says this. And Jesus passed by him and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? See, this is what we do. We see somebody with HIV. Oh, she had to be running the streets. She out there. You know, as y'all would say, dying and all this kind of stuff. Oh, y'all know I keep it real here. Doing whatever she do. So she deserved to get what she got. But watch this, what the Bible said. Who did sin? This is what they asked. You know, the number one question people ask, and I know you're going to ask it, how did you contract it? You know, and I want you to address that. Then it says this. He said, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. So not only did they say, you know, and this is your Bible, right? This is verse 2, 9 and 2, St. John 9 and 2. He said, something had to happen because there was no way that this man was supposed to be born blind. Some people out there blind, there was no way my child was supposed to have been born like this. It was no way that my life was supposed to be like this. So why? And I just thought when you said that, it just hit me right there. Why am I doing this? But watch this. And John 9 and 3, it says this. And Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned. Oh, come on, somebody. Nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, because the night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm here to tell you today what Sister Briggs Springs is doing right now is she is being the light. That God called us to be that light, that would not be hidden on a hill. Some say, well, why did God have to do it that way? Well, I'm reminded in the book of Job that he did it that way. He allowed a man, whole man, family to be taken out. And, you know, people say, don't question God. Yeah, I ask God a lot of questions. I might not get the answers, but I can ask because he is my father. You know what I mean? He has to respond. And some things we don't know. Sometimes bad things happen to really good people, and people get upset. If that was God, how could this happen? If that was God, and it was this and that. But if it wasn't God, we don't know. I'm asking you all today, go out and buy this book. Let's make this thing a number one seller so somebody else can see the story of holiness, that you can be holy in this space, and sometimes God allows things to happen to you. And you don't understand why. You know, and I was thinking this morning, and this is why I played that song, It's Okay, because as I was doing my little morning walk this morning, I was sitting there, and in some aspects, I was feeling sorry for myself, and I'm looking, but I was walking back towards my house because I had a house to go to. I was going back in here to go with because I had a church to speak to, and I had an internet to talk to, and I'm sitting there feeling sorry because I didn't get what I wanted. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we got to stop and realize and smell the roses, that God has us in a place right now to be a help to somebody else. You don't know what it is that God is going to put in your life that somebody else is going to be able to connect to, and you're going to help somebody else. This thing is not about you. The Bible says this. We said, what? Lord, let my body be what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing to God, which is my reasonable service. So you always talk about, Lord, use me. And when God decides to pick you, now you don't want to be used. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? Well, I'm just here to tell you today that God is now using her. And who would know? He knew what it took for her to get to this point. And I still believe that God, we serve a God that can heal. And if it's God's desire for her to be healed, then he'll heal. If not, then he's able to keep. Remember, Paul said it like this. Paul said, I had a thorn in my side. And I prayed for it 3 times for God to remove it. And what did he say? He said, my grace is sufficient. I don't know about you all, but I think, Shantae, how long you've been living with HIV? 10 plus years now? 5, 10? Yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 years, and she's still here. See, yeah. I remember 20 years ago, that was a death sentence. I remember when Ryan White first came out. Oh, come on. Y'all remember the little white boy? I was a little young, but I remember. And when he came out with it and all this, it was a death sentence. When Arthur Ashe called, oh, come on, it's still Black History Month, y'all. I'm just going to be authentic to who we are. But, you know, and it was all these different things that stigmas that was around this. And what, we were pushing out good people who just want to know God. Yes, I made some mistakes. You made some too. You just didn't get caught that way. Some of you still nasty and we know about it, but you still, but we let you in. And I'm here to tell you today, as we expand our thought, we already know that there's certain ways that you can and you can't get it and all these kind of things. But why are we narrowing the space? Why? Because we don't understand. And some of us don't want to understand. Why? Because we have these preconceived notions that what somebody had to sin. Mm-hmm, that this boy was born this way for a reason, because you missed the mark, not just for God's glory. So I ask you, Sister Shantae, that brings me to my next question is, why now? Why now? Out of all the time, why now versus the times before? Why? And you also, by the way, anybody want to put a question in? By all means, she says she's open to any and everything. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really am. When you say why now, I just want to go a little bit more in depth with that. You mean as far as like the book or why am I an advocate now? Like what?
All of the above.
Can you expand on that? All of the above.
All in the above. We got time. We got time. And if they want to leave, it's like I said, it's a free space. You come freely and you can leave freely.
It really is. It really is. You said some key things there. I just want to go back to that, Pastor. And you said that most of the time you think that sin is the cause. Sin is not always the origin. And one of the things I had to realize in this space is I've come across individuals who have lived with HIV as a result of their mother having HIV, and they received it just from breast milk. Mm. I mean, what do you do in that space and in that situation when you grow up, you never get in a relationship because you don't want no one to actually know about your HIV status. But then this was something you didn't even call. You didn't even have a chance to possibly sin. Mm. And those are one of the reasons why it takes me to what your question is, like the why. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing now. This is why I'm out here now. For one, I had to get the knowledge. Because just like we said about the church, like there's a lot of things I didn't know. I thought I was going to die. I was wondering how much longer do I have? I was wondering, okay, my son was getting ready to go to college. I'm not going to see that. I'm not going to see my daughter graduate. And now I'm sitting here with two granddaughters. Like, oh, wow. God is just amazing. But these are the first thing I had to do was I had to get the information. And then once I got the information, I had to realize I had to be a voice. Okay? And then once I became a voice, I said, well, wait a minute. Let me start writing. Let me start noting these things. So that way when my children's children, you know, what about Grandma Shantae? Who is she? Oh, well, here's a book. let's talk.
You want to keep something? You better write it down. This is why we're still reading the Bible right now.
Listen, people always ask me, like, how are you able to get from point A to B? I'm very futuristic. I'm a forward thinker. I always think about what's coming down the road. And so my legacy, even though my granddaughters weren't here yet, I knew I had to leave something in the earth for them. And so I start writing. Now, this process started about 2011. I started the writing. I just launched it in 2020. Why? Wow. Because I thought I was ready. I thought, okay, I can just write this book out. And I challenge people, when you have a story, it's okay to understand that it's going to take years sometimes for that story to actually unravel and to unfold. God was still showing me things. I was so bitter and broken that if that book that came out, it would just be an angry Black woman book. And so what I had to do was I had to understand the process. I had to understand God's timing is not my timing. And then allow him to perfect that thing, perfect it in me. And then once it was time to release, then I was able to actually release. And therefore, you have the product that you have right now. I changed the name. The name didn't change so many different times. But these are things that you had to unravel as the time went by. And so you ask why. If the why is not even up to me. I can't answer the why. That's God. because when I thought I wanted to release it, it wasn't time for it. But now it is the right time. And truth be told, I actually released the book when I was recovering from my fourth back surgery. I was actually going into surgery and doing emails. And they had asked me, ma'am, can we have your phone? And I have a couple of people that's on here right now. They know. They was like, Shanta, you're going to have to stop working. I was like, no, I have to get this done. Because there was something about me releasing this during recovery. I had to release it during a pandemic, and I had to release it during a recovery stage, because sometimes your healing does not always come when you think it's supposed to come. Mm. And so it was something that I needed to get conveyed to people that, okay, even though we're in a famine, supposedly, there's still some benefits that can come out of this. Even though I'm on my back and I can't really move, there's some benefit. You can still reach people. You don't have to wait till you get to the completed process. But at the same token,
ooh,
I had to
that was loaded right there. That was loaded. Oh, let's unpack that. So often we get in the space that we feel like we have to wait till we got it all together. You're looking at two very imperfect people. We got our share of issues, and we still working on them. This is why Paul calls it what? That we're working towards perfection. Amen. And that you got a question while you was going through that was, you know, and I think you kind of hit on it, was you ever angry with God?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, unpack that a little bit for us. Unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, and see, I had that relationship with my father, and I tell people that at that time, I just knew God to be God. Okay, he was just God. Okay, this is what you hear about, you know, he's a promise keeper, you know, all these different things that we learned in church, you know, he's a battle axe and problems, you know, all those different things. But I learned during this season, and during that season in my life, he was my father. And I didn't realize I was a daughter to him.
This is what we call reimagining God. I've been talking, I've been preaching it, and this is what our whole theme is for the whole year, is reimagining God. See, so you're a good example, just to hammer home that illustration of, because many of us, we come to God in one way. You know, we come to God because this is what my parents did, and we learned them through family. Then some of us learned through healing. Some of us learned through prison or mental prisons and all this stuff. But then once you get that part, it's like using that 1% of your brain. You got 99 others parts of this brain that needs to be used. And it's not being used right, because you stuck on that one part. Oh, come on. I ain't going to. Go ahead. I'm going to be quiet.
When I realized I was his daughter, because I'm just we're going to be transparent here. We kind of talk about
absolutely. This is an open space.
I grew up, you know, with my biological father not being there. He was incarcerated in and out of jail like half my life. When he's there, he's there. But when he's incarcerated, I don't have access. And then I had a stepfather that was a preacher. And totally opposite life. And so I grew up with this identity crisis. I didn't know who I was, where I fit in. Yeah, I didn't know. I would go to church, and I'm like, okay, the choir is the thing I'm supposed to be in. But this don't even feel normal. It feels like I'm supposed to be doing something else. I always went in spaces and places and not knowing who I was. And I attached myself to whatever the identity was in the person that was in front of me. So when I was married the first time, I was such and such wife. When I was married the second time, I was such and such wife. I didn't have my own identity because, for one, I didn't know who my father was. So it was through this situation that I was able to see, when everything was taken away from me, okay, no, God, you are Abba. You are my father. And if you're really my father, I can come to you any form. I'm your daughter. And so it goes back to the question that you said, was I angry with God? Okay, I'm your daughter. I don't have to dress this up like we in church and give a prayer like we in convocation. I don't have to do that. I can come to you and say, God, this does not make sense. This hurts. I'm not understanding why I'm here. All these people I have supported, I'm here by myself. I'm here going through this. Like, help me understand. And the truth be told, he said nothing. He didn't tell me nothing. He didn't tell me, okay, Shante, this is your future. This is where you're going. I'm sending you here. You're going to be this in the market. He didn't do that. But what he did was he stayed with me. There was something about, even though he wasn't speaking to me, I knew his presence was there. I knew I could get in the space. I knew I could pray. I knew I could intercede. I knew I could get in my place of worship. And I sensed him. As long as I sensed his presence there, I was okay enough to go, okay, let me go a little bit further. Let me go a little bit further. And I tell people, exposure is very key. Because as God journeyed me through certain seasons, I was able to come in contact with, let's say, this person. This person connected me to this person. And this person connected me to that person. And I was able to, but anyway, I was able to see God use people And that's what we have to understand. When I started seeing that God was using people to get me where I needed to be and to kind of tell me the different things along the way without him audibly telling me, I realized, hey, Shantae, you're one of those people too. So you got to understand that you're going to be the one that's going to help carry someone through. So look, you got to come out of this. You got to be able to push through this. You got to push through depression. You got to push through anxiety because you're the one that's now carrying people. So that's one of the things I would have to say. Yeah, I was very angry with God. But he allowed me to be angry.
And he said, what? You can be angry. He said, just don't sin. Yeah, right? He said, anger, but sin.
I was sinning too. I'm gonna be honest.
Oh, absolutely. We all have fallen short. I mean, you've hit so many key points there, and I want other believers to walk away that, you know, that we walk in this, you know, we walk in by faith and not by sight, which is, you know, our mantra, and we don't know where God's going to take us. And we all have that moment. You know, I've shared y'all mine, you know, several times with, you know, your boy, I thought I was going to prison. And I was like, man, Lord, how did this happen? You know, and it was one of those things, you know, they all heard it before. You know, it was kind of like, it happened, but it was 100% accident. Well, now my whole life, God, you let me, and just like you have that whole thought process, well, you let me go through this, you let me get this degree, you let me do this, you let me be that, and now I'm going to be incarcerated? And that's when I learned to trust him. You know, we talked about trusting him, but that's when you really, because you don't have no other options but to trust him. And I don't know if I didn't have faith, to be honest, I would have probably blown my own brains out. And we see people do it all the time. You know, yeah, they got convicted. Some guy did it this week, the gymnastics guy, right? They convicted him of all this stuff. They would have found him, he hung himself or something. So people make these options, but you know, but when you people of faith and we have hope, you know, the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. So I knew those options were off the table for me. And I'm like, well, what is gonna happen? And then as I trust God, he saw me through it. And you know, and I walked away, not the Hebrew boys, I was in the fire, but I didn't smell like smoke. You know? And I believe every believer at some point in your life, you're gonna have your moment. You're going to have your Daniel moment. You're going to have your David moment. You're going to have your Paul moment. You're going to have that moment that's just going to define you. And for you, it was there. For me, it was what I went through. And the thing is, like, you know, you always think, what are others going to say? And you're trying to figure out, you know, because we all, you know, in the day of Instagram and social media, we all want to put forth our best effort. We all want to put out there that things are just great for me. But sometimes things are crappy. And sometimes you don't feel like praying. Sometimes you don't feel like faster. Sometimes I don't even feel like getting up here preaching. And you know, you put that, like you said, you put that face on. And one of my favorite poems in the spirit of Black History Month is Paul Lawrence Dunbar. We wear the mask that grims and lies. It hides our face, and I mean, it closes up. It hides our face and grinds our eyes. And you know, basically, what he's saying is that we always wear this mask, especially being people of color and an African American man and an African American woman. I know we all walk around wearing this mask. Even now, we just peek behind it because you know it seems like things better, or are they really better? Oh, come on, somebody. You know, people walk around talking about Black Lives Matter, but do they really matter, or are you just giving me a facade? This, you know, it's the moment. It's a season. And when this passes, you get back over in your corner. Oh, I'm just real, y'all. Y'all already know this by now. So,
I mean, even, can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, even with when we look at COVID and we're wearing the mask now, it's only temporary. It's crazy. We'll wear a mask to a restaurant. But as soon as you get to your table, you take it off. So we think we have this sense of protection, you know. But then as soon as you get comfortable and you get seated and you're amongst the people that you're normally, you know, socializing with, you take it off. So it's like, how often have we done that? We put these
and you know what?
We think it's protecting us.
And this, is the part right here, though. This is the catch. You take it off among those who you are familiar with, and those are the ones who expose you. Woo! If I ain't said nothing else today.
That's what I'm saying.
Think about it. Most of the people who've caught this, it's not from people just walking around in strange. And I've learned this too, Shantae, is that, you know, the people I was worried about, it was them. It was the ones that I knew.
And they weren't even telling us.
It was the ones I knew that was getting me, that I thought supposed to be. And because they didn't care or they didn't see what God was doing, sometimes they unintentionally sabotage something, which leads us a nice segue to the next question that I have for you is, How did this affect your relationships? When we talking about, you know, I know you, you know, you got brothers and sisters, but you got a brother and a couple of sisters, and you got that ageless mom. Your mom just does not age. Amen. Always beautiful. Every time I see her, she just doesn't age. And how does that affect, you know, your relationships in general with your family and those, you know, closest to you and your, you know, your church family and all these kind of things? Because I know people felt some kind of way.
They did. And I think that's a very loaded question, and it has so many different facets to it. I would have to say for my family, I told them right away. I remember calling my mom, and she's on here, and I was, I remember calling her, and anybody knows my mom does not sing anymore. She can, though, but she doesn't. And I said, Ma, I just don't understand. I'm not getting it. And she started singing Maurette Brown Clark, It Ain't Over. And like she sang that song, like she was, I mean, she sung. And I remember I told her, and then when I gathered my entire family, and some of them was kind of like, nah, not you, Sean. But they was like, they jumped in and said, hey, we're going to get through this. I remember my daughter was the first that I told, and then I told my son. My son immediately, he was like, you know, you got to get tested again. I'm going with you. And it was just the family, I would say, was there, but I would have to say it became a point because I wasn't ready to talk about certain things, and I was going through so much transition. I had to work through going through a separation and relocating and then going through divorce and still trying to manage my health. I never stopped working. I actually enrolled in school. It was so many different things going on that it came up later that often they forgot I even had it. It was if I didn't have it because we didn't talk about it. And so for to be honest and transparent, what I did was I sat in that space. And I sat in that space of I felt like I was being neglected. I felt like I was being abandoned. But in all actuality, that was just some little childhood stuff with Shantae coming up. In all actuality, my family didn't abandon me. They didn't neglect me because I presented myself in such a way that I was okay. I didn't let them see me take the mask off. They didn't know I was hurting at certain times. And so what I've learned to do is not hold them hostage to the fact that, okay, when I did go through certain seasons, you weren't there. What I'm doing now is I'm being very intentional of letting them know when I am hurting. Pretty vocal with that. I'm letting them know when I do have an issue. Mm-hmm. I'm letting them know when things are not okay. And we even had those conversations. I remember almost like 2 years ago, I had the conversation with my sisters about, okay, let me explain what my CD4 count is. Let me explain my viral load. And here it is. I'm this big advocate to the world. I'm on these conferences. I run a support group. But I was afraid to even have those intimate conversations with my family. My family didn't even understand. And so I had to go back and make them knowledgeable of, okay, this is what I deal with. And so to see where we all have come from now, that journey, it was a process for all of us. So my family, I would say, they are definitely supportive now, and I don't hold it in that space. And I love you all of y'all out there. Thank you so much. But then there were other relationships like my church family. Oh, my gosh. You don't know what you don't know. And at that time, you know, HIV wasn't a ministry that you kind of put in churches. You got stuff for cancer patients, and you got stuff for, you know, people that are grieving, but how many churches actually have a ministry for HIV? And so I ended up finding, I would come to church and I would hear all these sermons, and they would actually give praise reports on who was actually, you know, their cancer was in remission, but you never heard nothing about HIV. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is a hospital. This is where I'm supposed to bring my issue to. How come I can't hear nothing about my issue? And when I did hear my issue, it was in a negative space. It was, oh, okay, thank God you didn't die in the bed that you was in last night. Well, I was supposed to be in that bed. You know, I didn't quite understand that. And so I had to like kind of separate myself from, you know, this is what I know the church to be, but this is not what I see. Okay. And so I had to end up going into the community, and that's why I'm a big strong advocate for the community. The community was the ones that actually helped save my life. If the truth be told, the LGBTQ community, they embraced me. That's facts. They connected me to resources. They told me, okay, Shantae, this is what you need to do to make sure that your mental state is in place. And I was able to then take those same things full circle. Now let me go back and educate the church. So that's part of what I do now, is trying to help churches and faith-based organizations. Okay, if there's a lack, there's people in your church with HIV. They just ain't telling you. It may be people in this pulpit. They just not telling you. Mm. So let's try to find some resources and put some things in place. Make sure that their mental stability is in place. Make sure they have meds. Make sure they can do their co-pays, different things of that nature. So as far as the church, you don't know what you don't know. It wasn't a space in there. So now I'm trying to create that space. As far as work, work was my escape. That was my escape. So there was nothing lacking there. I was very transparent from the beginning about my status, because surprisingly, I had individuals come to me in my employment and say, hey, me too. And I was able to help navigate them through that.
Wow.
Yeah, and so.
So you know, and that's the thing, you never know. And I mean, you said a whole bunch there, because I do want to circle back around to the LGBTQ community. I mean, clearly, you know, here at the Safe House Church, we don't believe in homosexuality. However, we do love people, and they're still God's people. And I know that people, you know, are where they are, but you know, as God brings them, I mean, I believe in deliverance. So we don't ostracize you. Our doors are always open to you. Amen. Our doors are always open to you, because I don't own a church. This is God's space, and we wouldn't be who we are without it. However, we do believe in a standard of, you know, of holiness, and we believe what the Bible says we can do, and we believe it, you know, we go for it, as the Joel Osteen said, you can do what it says you can do, and you shouldn't do what it says you couldn't do. But we don't ostracize people, and we work with people where they are, because we all working towards perfection. We all have something. I know some make, you know, this sin and then, you know, this sin, and there are, you know, levels of sin, and even with that, like I said, some things wrong. So I want others to know that while our stance is this, and that is our stance, because we believe the Bible is right. However, we are open, and, you know, we are not a bashing church. We don't bash. We are the safe house. It's a safe place for all. It's a safe place for all, where we provide discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. And you can see it today as we disciple you into this space to learn what more about these things that are plaguing our community. Because if we're going to be the Safe House Church and we're going to rock it here in Greensboro, we have individuals who need our help or need resources or need somebody to just be able to hug on them or hold their hand, or a community that you heard us talk about. And I find it odd that LGBTQ and all these communities have stepped up to the plate, but the church has stepped back. But we said we got power. We say that we have the God. You know, we sung about a God this morning that you know, all power belongs to God, yet we don't have the power to even speak to one another. We don't have the power to love one another. We don't have the power to sit down. I know there's going to be some people who are going to be uncomfortable with this conversation, and it is what it is. However, this is where God has called the Safe House Church, and this is where we are, where we are loving people to life, you know, and not death, you know, and God is in control. And at the end of the day, all he did was tell me what, plant the seeds, and one plant, one water, but his heat gives the increase. Amen. And oftentimes, you know, those who know, know me know that I fish. And yes, I'm fishing for one kind of fish, but sometimes I catch a different kind of fish, you know, and it didn't mean, you know, so if I'm hungry, I got a fish, but you know, I might, you know, but What I'm getting at is that the Bible says it like this, you know, finding fish ministry is our parent ministry. And we know it says, what, go out into the deep and cast your net. When you cast that net, sometimes you get alligators, turtles, and you get, you know, some of the fish you want and some of the fish you don't. And what you do is that you bring it all in and he does the sorting. And a lot of times we want to sort fish and clean fish before we even get them. And that's not for me to do. He told me to preach the word and stand there. And what through my life, they might say, you know what, brother, you're right. And now some things have changed and some decisions have been made, and we walk through this. So I tell people all the time, you know, I serve in these spaces, especially, you know, being a university professor, you know, I'm in this space all the time. And the biggest thing, what I find out is you got to know, it's something you said, you got to know who you are. See, I'm very clear on who I am. So I don't have a problem bringing people like you onto this platform. And I mean, like you, meaning that, you know, some, you know, you've been through some things and this stuff doesn't intimidate me, but I knew, I grew up in a time where this would have intimidated some people.
Yes.
This would have stopped it. You know, they would have called me, and they might be calling me Lucifer right now, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, why? Because, you know, the Bible says, if everybody has spoke good of you, then you might want to check yourself. That means I'm not pushing hard enough. I'm not stretching you hard enough. And that's one of the things we do here. Because what, to get more capacity, you got to what? Stretch. And then over time, now that becomes your new norm, and then you stretch again. So we are very intentional about stretching I believe it. So I wanted to be very clear, you know, where we stood on that, but also at the same time, we're very accepting, you know, to listen and have these conversations and talk. And I believe that if God is great as you say he is, if he has all the power he say he is, then that conversation should end with you walking that way. It should be ending with them following you. If not, we got to check what we got. We got the Holy Ghost like we said we got the Holy Ghost. We running around speaking in tongues. Oh, come on. Yeah, I'm going there. You know, you say you're walking by faith and not by sight. Put the rubber, where, you know, as we say in the country, where the rubber meets the road. Let's see you be about that, not just talk about it, not pay it just lip service. Because we in a place right now, we got a whole world that's dying around us, and they looking for the real McCourt. I gave y'all the Elijah McCourt story. Why was it Elijah McCourt? Because they like, his stuff was a real deal. And the Safe House, we want to be authentic. You know, we're not perfect people. I got my own set of issues. You know, my wife has hers, and other members of our church have theirs. But we're being what? Authentic in the space. This is what we got. And if this is enough and you're willing to grow with this, then come on. And if not, we know we're not for everybody. Just like this conversation today is not for everybody, but it is for somebody. And if that one person's life has changed from you being able to share your walk here today and be so transparent in this space, then we've done our part. And when we get to heaven, it'll be, you remember that day y'all did this? That person's here because of what Shante said, and you provided the platform, and the Safe House Church was brave enough to step out and walk by faith, knowing that I'm doing something different in this day, and therefore what all of you are blessed from that one act. And that's just how I believe it, Shante. It is how I believe it. I know we get to the point that my time is getting a little long, so I wanted to ask you, what do you want the people to leave with? Besides your book, and I'm telling y'all, go get this book. It's $10, $12, $13, $14. It ain't much. I think I got it in 2 days. It's right at 100 pages. I promise you, it's a page turner. You would not want to put it down. I enjoyed it. Y'all heard me. As a matter of fact, this is not the first time I talked about this book on here. Y'all know that. So I've been talking about it since when I got it back in maybe November sometime. And you all need to pick it up. And I'm not here selling books. I wouldn't be telling you if I didn't believe in it. I mean, it's good. All right. What do you want people to walk away with? I know I'm talking too much.
No, I love it. I love it. You know, I'm getting my little nuggets too. First of all, thank you again. Thank you. Thank you for just being a brother, and thank you for supporting, and thank you for being a part of the kingdom. I really appreciate it. I would have to say this, that three things I kind of like really honed in, and things that I've kind of taken away from this 10 plus years journey. One thing this has taught me is how to build my resilience. And so when we talk about resilience, you know, resilience to me is that bounce back power. You know, you go through the different things that we talk about. You go through different catastrophes in life. You go through different situations. But, you know, do you stay there? Do I stay on the floor? Does Shante stay in depression? Or do you bounce back? So one thing that this has done is it's actually built my resilience. And so there's another definition that talks about it's your ability to bounce back. There's your ability to bounce back better than your original state. Some people actually bounce back to the original state, but then there's another remnant of individuals that actually bounce back to a better state. I would have to say I'm living in the better now. I think God has expanded me and actually stretched me in a way that I never thought I could see, but that's just a part of his process. And so one thing about resilience that you have to find is when you start building that up, even when you're working out and you're building out that resistance, they say, okay, go ahead and knock it up a little bit more, put some additional weight on. You're able to carry more. And so what I've learned is now when stuff hit me, it don't take long because I built up that resistance. And so I challenge anyone, if you're going through different things, whether you're going through a divorce, you're going through financial situations, we're living in this time with COVID, understand that everything that you come through, you may not see it right away, but you are building your resistance. And so you'll look back and see, okay, you know what, that normally used to take me months to get through. But because you built up resistance, it may now only take days. And so that's one of the things I've learned. Another thing is I've learned, and you kept talking about this, I said, ooh, you are my nugget. You kept saying about the Safe House, and I love that. It's okay to show up in your true authenticity. I walked in that mask for so long. I was afraid to be Shante. I was afraid to let people see that, you know, it's the professional side and then it's that other side. I didn't want people to see me. But now when I show up for one on purpose. Okay, I'm not just showing up just to be there, just because I got an invitation. I don't do that any longer. Now I show up for a reason. It's a reason why I'm here, whether it's for me to provide something and give something, or it's for me to receive something. And so I look at, none of that would have been possible if I didn't show up in who I truly was. So no, what you see is what you get. Yeah, I show up in truly who I am. No, I am that woman. That's a Black woman. That's a professional. But that's the student. But also, she was broken. Also, she still has fears at times. Also, she still, you know, has to work on not getting isolated because she's afraid of people because of the stigmas and things like that. I have to be honest with that and allow people to see me in that truth, because that's going to help bring someone else out. Transparency always wins. People always connect to transparency. And I would have to say the last part, and this is the biggest thing for me, because I definitely didn't do this before. It's okay to show up for yourself. Mm. I showed up for everyone else. I was supportive to everyone else.
Wow.
Everyone else. But I'm not going to be beneficial to no one if I stop showing up for me. And so I had to learn the difference between self-care and self-maintenance. And so self-care, you know, we have this big thing where everyone is on, oh, Sunday's a self-care day, or I have self-care day on Friday. I'm going to go get my nails done. I'm going to go get my hair done. I'm going to go get a massage. No, ma'am. No, sir. That's self-maintenance. Mm. Those should have been the things that we were doing anyway.
Oh, wow.
As a woman, you should want to get your nails done. Mm. You should want to get your hair done. Like, you should want to do certain things. But self-care? What keeps Chauncey together is things like making sure I have a quarterly appointment with my therapist, because mental wellness is very important. Amen. I don't wait to be reactive, wait till something happens and then try to get an appointment. Let me try to be proactive. I go get my oil change every 3,000 miles. How come I don't do that when it comes to my mental wellness?
You know,
self-care is making sure that I keep toxic people away from me. Make sure I have healthy relationships. Make sure I set boundaries. There's a difference between fences and walls. I always tell people that there's a difference between fences and walls. Fences, you can come in and out. You know, you can open the gate. You know, in the country, we know about this. You open that door, but a snake can kind of get through that too. But a wall is more difficult for a snake to get around that. And where I was messing up with relationships, I was allowing people that I should have given walls access to, fences. And I was letting them come in and out. The snakes were coming in and out. When the people that I should have had fences for, I put the walls up. People that should have walls up, I put fences up. So I had to understand who's who and keep the toxic people away from me. And that's still something I'm working on now. And so I have to say, these are all things that I do to make sure I show up for me. I take a vacation every quarter because I do so much. I wear so many hats. I have to make sure I get away from it. I need to be better than that because I'm on vacation right now and still doing some things. Not good, but I gotta do better with that. Y'all gotta help me. People, y'all gonna have to help me with that. But these are different things I've learned to put in place to make sure that I show up for Chauncey, because I'm not beneficial to nobody if I'm not together. So that's all I really have. If I have any more questions.
Well, I got one last question for you. What can we do to support you?
I can't hear you.
So I have one final question for you. What can we do to support you? Here at the Safe House Church, like I said, we are about empowerment. And I want to know, what can we do to support you?
I love that question. And that's a question I normally ask. I would have to say, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep having these conversations. If anyone that you know that's battling HIV or AIDS, because there is a difference, I'm here to be a resource. If you have questions, if anyone in your church has questions about it, I'm an open book. They can inbox me. They can reach me by email. I'm here to help and serve. But I would just say, just keep being available and accessible, because that was one of the things that was lacking for me. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to turn to. And I was Googling and trying to find places. And so as long as you know that you're a resource and you're a place where people can come, I think that would be beneficial to both myself and others.
And I think you had some important things that I did want to go back and circle around and touch again about. And I say this to all my pastors and pastor friends, or those who want to listen or who don't want to listen, is that it's okay not to know all the answers. You know, sometimes as pastor, we have this thing that we're supposed to know everything. And I tell my, you know, people know in my traditional job, I teach teachers how to be teachers. And I tell my student teachers all the time, you don't have to know everything. You just got to know how to find it all. Right? Meaning the resources. So if I don't know an answer, it's okay to say, let me get back with you. and reach out to people. Because, you know, me as a pastor, I have my limitations too. And, you know, I tell our members all the time, you know, I may not be able to counsel you through this. Let's go see a professional. There are some godly people out there that God has put into space, that God has given them the, you know, anointing for that. And they went to school and they got trained for it. You know, I do believe in, you know, training. And, you know, by way, you know, I have a doctorate. You know, it's not in theology, but, you know, I went and I got some training. So we do want to be a support to you in that space. I think we lost her. Hopefully she'll come back. Also, I want to ask you all, let's be a financial, here she come. Let me get her back in here real quick. She's coming back in now. I think she's on, you know, she's out on vacation. Amen. And I'm just so grateful. How many of you enjoyed this today? I know this is different for us. Like I said, we do change it up from time to time. And I hope that you have enjoyed this on today. And see, you're back. Are you back, Shante? Uh-oh, you muted yourself. You're going to have to come back out again. You are muted. Okay, she's going to come back in. And I want to be a blessing to her. I want to see if we can get her Cash App. Amen. And then we'll carry on our service and get out here. I hope that you all have found this to be very helpful today. I know sometimes, you know, sometimes preaching ain't always about hollering at you. It ain't always about, you know, pushing you, but it's about what? It's about learning other things and how do we actually live what we talk about. How do we actually live? I mean, I know some of us say, I want to be a better believer. Be a better believer by what? By living what we preach about. By living what we read about. We are what to be called to go into this space and live this thing. We got to live it. You know, it's not enough just to talk about it, but live it. And, you know, my dear sister Shante is an example of that. You know, she told you. She don't even know how she got it. You know, she don't. She was being a faithful wife. So we can only, you know, one could assume some things there. And, you know, even then we don't know some things, right? So we have to be careful about that. But she was just living and being in the space and doing what she believed God had, you know, called her to be. And some things happen. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. But what we must be mindful and careful of those things as we go forward. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to her of being willing to share this time with us on today, share of herself today. And I just think this was a very beautiful thing. And I want to ask her, you know, so we can get her Cash App. I don't know if she's gone and what I do with my cell phone. Amen. Y'all know I got like 5-6 different things going on up here. I don't know if I didn't drop my phone. I ain't got a chance to look for it. But anyway, at any rate, let's be a blessing to her. So as we go over to the church, let me switch lanes here. Amen, amen, amen. Just don't run out of here yet. This video, obviously, the video will be available to those who would like to see it later. But I ask, let's be a blessing and offering. Amen, amen. Everything, if you know anything about the Safe House Church, everything that comes in here goes directly to supporting this ministry. I do not take anything from this ministry. Amen. And so I ask that you all be willing to, if you would, make, you know, if you decide to do a money order or a check, you can make that check payable to Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina. That's 27358. Again, that's Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Cash App is Safe House Church, GSO. Now, you notice in your Cash App, those who are Cash Appers, you know, you can go in there and kind of put what it's for. I ask that you, of course, you know, support the church in your tithes and your offering. But if you want to give something special to Sister Shantae, just notate that in there and we will make sure that she gets it. Amen. I wanted to get, like I said, get her. Oh, there it is. Somebody just gave it to me. Cool. We'll pull that up if you want to be a blessing to her. It's also in the text. It's Coach Shantae Spriggs. I'll see if I can get that up. I'll drop that in real quick before we leave on today. So also you can do paypal.me/ministry aid. Again, it's paypal.me/ministry aid to be a blessing to her. You all know, you know, what she's dealing with. She does take a lot of medications and these things, and we want to be a blessing to her. We just don't want to just take her gift for granted. You know, the things that she's going through, we know we can only imagine the amount of doctor's appointments and things that she has to do. And y'all can see that she's really bubbly, and she has, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful spirit about her. But the truth of the matter is, it, you know, she is taking, you know, a number of medications and all these things that we're aware of. So if you notice that it just came up, Coach Shante Spriggs on the Cash App. I ask that you all be a blessing to her. Let me see if I can type that in real quickly. Also, I want you to be a blessing so you can send it that way, or you can send it to us and just notate it, and I will make sure that she gets what she needs. Amen? Amen. All right, so here she comes back. Let me get her back in here. Amen. Let me switch this back over real quick. And I know we're getting out of here. If you got to go, we understand. I'm not going to hold it against you. Amen. Sister Shante, we got you back on. I'm putting in your Cash.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. We're putting in your Cash out right now. One of your friends had put it in here. We want to be a financial blessing to you. Like I was saying, we know that what you're going through is, you know, it's expensive. Amen. And I think one of your friends has told us that it was Coach Shante Spriggs, right? Just your name.
Yeah, Coach Shante Spriggs.
I'm putting that on here right now, and I ask some people to be a financial blessing to you in this space.
That's true.
Amen. Here we go. Boom, it's right there. You can go and be a financial blessing. And I want, before we get off, I want to pray with you. Amen. I want all of the Safe House Church to pray with you. We want to bless her, and we want to just give this, you know, support her. Not only just, you know, financially, but also to be able to support her in the book, and also, you know, in her spiritual life. Amen. And we're just so grateful for the blessing that you've done for us today, and just shared yourself and poured your soul out. And like I said, we'll never know. Maybe you'll get the inbox or the testimony of somebody who was struggling with something, or somebody who just, sometimes, you know, we just feel down. It's like, I'm moping. But you know what? I'm not dealing with that. It could be worse. Amen. And I'm just so grateful. So with everybody in Safe House, would you just point your hands towards the screen, or put your hand on the screen, and let's bless Shante right now. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord Jesus. We want to say we thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't count it, Lord Jesus, our accident, Lord Jesus, that you allowed us to be in this space on today, Lord. I ask that you touch Sister Spriggs, oh God. You see her heart, you see her mind, you see her thoughts, Lord. You see her body, Lord. You know exactly where she is, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for you said that we're overcome by the power of our testimony. Lord, we thank you for that tremendous testimony, Lord Jesus, that was shared today, oh God. Lord Jesus, that transparency that was shared today, Lord Jesus, to bless people, oh God. That even, Lord Jesus, in our faithfulness, oh God, sometimes, Lord, you allow things to come to us, Lord, and we can't explain them. We don't know why. But Lord Jesus, but we trust that you are God. Lord, I ask that you continue to touch her right now from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, oh God. I know in her voice, Lord Jesus, to go, Lord Jesus, give a bigger platform, oh God. Allow her to speak, Lord Jesus, on the tallest of platforms around this world, oh God. Lord Jesus, that she'll be able to speak, Lord Jesus, that holiness is still right, oh God. Lord Jesus, that, Lord Jesus, that you still love, Lord Jesus, that, Lord Jesus, that you are love, oh God. Lord Jesus, that despite what she's going through, Lord, despite where she is, Lord Jesus, that you're going to bless her beyond measure, oh God. Lord, we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to continue to help her to go forward, Lord Jesus, in the highways and the byways, and compel them to come. Oh God, as she live, Lord Jesus, life, and Lord, life more abundantly, oh God. Lord, she that her greater, Lord Jesus, that her latter days be greater than the former days, oh God. Lord, I ask that you allow the anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free to sit upon her right now, oh God. Heal her body, Lord Jesus, if it's your choice right now in the name of Jesus. For you said by your stripes that we were healed. Word being past tense, meaning that it's already done, oh God. And I ask, Lord Jesus, out of this union, oh God, Lord Jesus, that others, Lord Jesus, be blessed, oh God, others find, Lord Jesus, refuge, oh God, that know, Lord Jesus, that is none like you in all the land, oh God, and we praise your name, and we give your name all the honor, and all the praise, the glory, and the power, Lord, for belongs to you. But we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. We ask you to do all these things and others in the powerful name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you, Sister Shante. You all, y'all see the name out there, write it down, Coach Shante Spriggs. Maybe you don't have something to do right now. Hey, you don't have something to give right now. I ask that you write it down, and you just bless her whenever God blesses you. You know, the Bible says like this, says shake down, press down, I can't even say it now. Press down, shaking together, running over that, what men gives unto your bosom. And y'all noticed that she was saying what? It wasn't God that came down, but God was using what? Men, unbelievers. The LBG community was what? Was blessing her in the space and showing her how to get connected. Because you didn't know it. I didn't know it. So we couldn't be a help. So what? Let's expand ourselves. Reimagine God in this space, as this is the conclusion of our Black History program for this month. Amen. You know, so many different things that we've gone through. We started out making the case for Bathsheba. Did Bathsheba even have a choice in her adultery? Oh, come on, somebody. Then we went on to, you know, then we got to the point where we talked about racism in the church. Oh, y'all know we hit it this month. Amen. Go back and look at YouTube. They all there. We talk about the racism in church and where it really came from and how this was a construct that people did to control it so that they can explain some things. And then on last month, we talk about this Queen of Sheba. Queen of Sheba just being what? That's her title, but that was not the person's name. Oh, come on. Sometimes we don't do enough research that we start calling people bishop, apostle, and we don't even know nothing about them. We don't know their name. And then on today, we tied it and we circled that back around with the Ethiopian who was what? Kept on the outside from the church, so to speak. But God always has somebody. He has a ram in the bush that if you reach out to him, he sends a Philip your way. And you know what? Philip was only there because after this, the Bible says what? Philip kind of disappears. He said that what? The Ethiopian what? The eunuch saw him what? Basically be caught up. He saw him be caught up. He was gone. He was gone. So God allowed him to be there. So what? I'm here to tell you today that if you don't have anybody to reach out to, I'm here to tell you today that God will send somebody into space. He will provide somebody. And all you got to do is reach out and be faithful to him in all that you do. I hope this is, like I said, again, been a tremendous blessing. Sister Chante, I allow you to have this last word before I close this out.
I just want to say thank you again for having me. And thank you to everyone that's listening and who will listen to the replay. Let's keep continue to have these conversations because we only learn by having these type of conversations. I love you all.
Amen. Amen. So God bless you all. Safe House spoke. You know, we got revival coming. Again, revival, real quickly, I popped it up, the revival on 10, 11, and 12 on March. It'll be online. You can get into that space. Not a problem. We look forward to having you there. I told y'all, we just do a little bit of everything. Yes, that's a white man. But God is what? God is going to use him. He's going to bless this space. I tell you all, we don't have no respect to person that this is a place of empowerment. Amen. This is where the leaders come to be trained. Everybody's not going to be in this space because everybody's not a leader. But the folks who are here are what are leading people to the next level. Amen. And then we also have, remember our men and women's groups that we have the, let me see, can I get it pull up? Where you go? There we go. The Women at the Well. Remember the Women at the Well? The Women at the Well on Monday nights at 7 p.m. All you got to do is go out there and go out there, register. It's going to send you a link to your email. You use that link and you can go on out there and just and be in this space, you know, talks like this. You know, sometimes they invite people like Sister Chante in to have these talks. You know, people think that church is about beating folk up. No, this is not what the Safe House is about. Amen. We're about living what we preach. We're about living what we preach. So I ain't got to beat you up with the Bible. I want you to be able to see it in my life. And you're going to find out that, no, I'm not perfect, but we're resilient. And as I think Sister Chante brought that up, and I thought about resiliency, we talk about the bounce back. But what's about the thing about the bounce back? You know how you bounce back harder? It's determining how far you went down. You know, I think about a basketball. When you slam a basketball, it'll go down. It'll go a lot higher than when you were. It's the how far you went down. So Sister Chante, we just looking at you starting to ascend back up. Oh, come on, somebody. That you are just going to go to that next level. Also, my men, we have a space for you too. The locker room where it goes down. The locker room is where we talk about everything. So the locker room, remember, it's a private space for men too. Where we go in here and we have these talks in the locker room. We talk about family. We talk about, you know, how to stay there. Because sometimes there are men who want to walk away. And sometimes it seems like everything says you should walk away. But this is not what we do. Amen. We share in this space and we learn how to get. The Bible said, what? If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Amen. So there would have to be somebody who knows where they're going and what they're doing. And I'm just so grateful to each and every one of you all. So you all take care. God bless you all. This has been a tremendous, tremendous day. And I'm just so grateful. If you get the opportunity to come back and see us again, Wednesday nights, we have Bible class. You all know we go line by line, precept upon precept. On last week, we only got through two verses. We still in Ephesians. We only got through two verses, but those who would tell you that it was right on the money. And like I said, we're not in a rush. I don't know why people be in such a rush. We're not in a rush. I want to make sure you get the information. I want to make sure that you understand what God is doing in this day and present day and time. Why? Because you got to know him for yourself. I tell you all, don't give me glory. You got to know him for yourself. When you in that situation, and Shantae will probably tell you those times that she was by herself, you got to know him for yourself. And my job is just to inspire you and to push you and to scratch you to know him for yourself. And then again, we'll be here on Sunday morning. By all means, go out to our website, you know, read about us, find out more about us. And if you want to join us, there's always room at the cross. You know, the Church of the Doors were opened 2,000 years ago, and they have not been closed yet, and they're not closed here. So if you want to join us, just reach out to us. You know, you can Facebook, Twitter, we on all of them, Instagram, wherever you way you can get to us. Get to us. We can be reached here at the church, 336-501-7552. Again, 336-501-7552. It's 11 o'clock. We only kept y'all for 2 hours. Y'all go watch a movie. It's been longer than that. Amen. So God bless you all. Love you all. Take care. And we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing, yeah.